Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of life. Hallelujah. Welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives have been enriched and transformed by the word of God. In the last episode, I concluded the teaching on the importance of being taught. Hallelujah. And I emphasized the importance, or one other major reason why the believer must submit to teaching, to training, beyond the verbal indoctrinations, beyond coming to church to receive teachings and sermons upon sermons. There's the place of being monitored, being trained, being looked after and cared for spiritually. Hallelujah. There's the place of tending the sheep, not just feeding the flock with knowledge, but tending the sheep, to seeing to it that men practice the things that they are learning. Men make a practice of the things that they are receiving. Hallelujah. That is very important. And that's the missing link in the lives of many Christians. Many Christians do not have pastors. Though they attend church on a regular basis, though they find themselves in the gathering of the saints regularly, they don't have pastors. Pastors are men who have an oversight function over the lives of men. Your pastor sees to it that you are prayerful. He doesn't just instruct you to pray. He makes you pray. Your pastor sees to it that you are doing the work of ministry. He doesn't just give instruction on soul winning. That's a very terrible approach today. Say, let's just go out there and win souls. The pastor does not just give instructions to people to go win souls. He creates a structure, a system, and ensures that men are obeying the Lord. He ensures that men are actually going out to do it. Praise God. Men even come back to give feedback, to report that which they are doing. Hallelujah. That is training. And I said in that teaching that there is no knowledge in this world that affects men without the practical side. Hallelujah. There must be the practical side. That is how people gain mastery mastery in any field of study. Praise God. Mastery in any field of study comes by exposing yourself both to the theory and the practical. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more scripture today, and then I'll make progress with today's teaching. Hebrews 13, verse 17. One more scripture that buttresses or emphasizes the place of having an oversight over, you know, your life, your pastor having an oversight over your life, carrying out an oversight function. Hebrews 13, 17, Bible says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. It says to submit, and that these guys watch over you, they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So that means God is going to require that they give an account of the lives committed to them. Praise God. Remember how Paul gives this instruction at Acts 20. Shepherd the flock of God over amongst whom the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost appointed you, he set you over their lives as men who give an account. Praise God. So, my work is well cut out for me. I know this very well. I know several times people do not understand why I'm that very keen. I'm so keen on, you know, seeing to it that people are practicing and, you know, people are practicing and doing the word of God. It's my work as a pastor. Hallelujah. You can't be under my watch and be lazy. The only alternative will be to leave. There are only two options. You grow, you submit, you grow, or you leave. You won't be comfortable around me if you are not ready for work, serious business. Hallelujah. We're not going to chase you away. We're not going to send you away. We're not going to tell you there's no space for you, but we are not going to accommodate or pamper your laxity or pamper your laziness. No, we'll make sure we get you from being lazy, the point of being lazy, to the point of being diligent and committed in these things. Hallelujah. Sometimes even while I'm teaching in church, I'm looking at people, I'm observing things. I see a man who is on his phone checking WhatsApp, a man who is gisting with somebody, I'm calling people to order. Hallelujah. I see somebody who is just slouching in his chair, looking disconnected. I say, brother, what's going on there? Sister, what's happening there? Why are you gisting with somebody? You're not writing. Well, you know, I must give an account. Hallelujah. So I understand what it means to have oversight over people's lives. The pastor must not look away from people's lives. He must look after people. Hallelujah. That's oversight. Oversight means you look after people. You are not looking away. You are not taking your eyes away. You are looking after them and caring for them and administering correction when necessary, administering rebukes when necessary, because you have to bring men to maturity in the faith. Glory to God. So that's what we just read at Hebrews 13. It says to submit to them, obey those who have the rule over you, submit to them. Your obedience is about the submission. That is, let them do their work. Hallelujah. You come for a prayer meeting, and as we are praying, pacing around, praying, I find out that you are dozing and sleeping. Then I walk up to you and say, brother, you can't be sleeping. Let's pray. You don't take offense. Submit. Hallelujah. You've not been showing up for evangelism. Then I come on your case and I say, why have you not been coming for evangelism? Yeah, pastor, I've been so busy. You can't be so busy. You can't be too busy for the Lord. Then I come upon your case and I cut your toes. You should submit. Hallelujah. That's how Jesus came upon people. Yeah, follow me. Let's go and do the work of ministry. Let me first go and tell them in my house. Let me go and bid them goodbye. He says, no one lays his hand to the plow and looks back his feet for the kingdom of God. Follow me now. Hallelujah. Another one says, let me first go and bury my father. He says, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom. Imagine, as though Jesus didn't have human feelings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the submission is to not take offense when you are being corrected, when you are being reprimanded, when necessary. Hallelujah. Rebukes are not the norm. In fact, it just occurred to me that there are people in my local church that I have not rebuked before. And when I say rebuke now, of course, rebuke is a form of correction, but I'm talking about that sharp rebuke, that coming upon your, you know, case like that. There are people who have not done that too, simply because they've done nothing to warrant it. Do you understand? So it's not like we are looking for how to share rebuke. It must go around. It doesn't have to go around. People are rebuked when necessary. But one thing is consistently seen in scriptures, corrections. Hallelujah. Corrections would always have to be corrected. Not everybody will be rebuked sharply. Hallelujah. Not everybody will receive a sharp rebuke, but you receive one when necessary. And the pastor must not withhold it. It's part of the discipline. Hallelujah. It's part of the discipline. Somebody who is always giving excuses, always has excuses for not being around for training, is not somebody to spare. Is not someone you ought to spare and just look away and just say, well, that's his life, that's his choice. No, you must let him know. Praise God. Why on earth do you think Paul said concerning Demas that he had forsaken him, having loved this world? What do you think happened? Praise God. He was trying to show him out that he had prioritized worldly affairs above spiritual things. Praise God. I'm sure that if we look at the life of the man Demas, he must have been, most likely, he must have been very, 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 very zealous. Much more zealous than the average Christian today. Paul said he had forsaken him. Hallelujah. Having loved this present world. Praise God. So you see, a spiritual leader must not look away from people. He must care for them, pay attention to them as one who would give an account of their lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's delve into today's study proper. Amen. And my emphasis in today's teaching is on the place of personal commitment to studying God's word. You know, we saw how that a vital ingredient for spiritual growth is being taught. But then there's the place of personally going back to the things you are taught and, you know, revisiting those things. Praise God. So the first thing is to receive teaching. Then you must go back to those teachings. You must go back to personally meditating on the scriptures. You must go back to personally searching the scriptures. Hallelujah. So while the first call is to be taught, the second duty of the man is to go back to the scriptures and search the scriptures. I mean, we had people who were even unbelievers do this. Acts 17. Many people have referred to them as Berean Christians. They were not even Christians. It was their attitude to scriptures that eventually made them believers. They set the scriptures, and after setting the scriptures, they proved the words of Paul from the scriptures, and they believed. Acts 17, hallelujah. I'll read from verse 10. The Bible says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, as well as men. Hallelujah. So you see, they believed because they said the scriptures. Bible says they received with all readiness and said the scriptures daily to find out if those things were so. Praise God. That's the attitude we always comment today. It was an attitude displayed by unbelievers. How much more a Christian today? So as I'm receiving teachings and I'm being taught, I must also go back. I must cultivate the attitude of going back to searching the scriptures to find out if these things are so. Hallelujah. Not just to find out if these things are so, because many times today, as you know, the man is teaching, we're walking through scriptures together, we can see these things for ourselves. Beyond trying to find out if these things were so, or if these things are so rather, it's also profitable for edification. Hallelujah. It's profitable for edifying you as a person when you read through scriptures. So there are two approaches. There are two things you have to do in your personal study. Number one is to read, which is my emphasis today. To read. The second one is to study. Hallelujah. Topical studies of scriptures. Topical studies of God's word. And then we're going to come to that tomorrow. But my emphasis today is on reading. I've discovered that many believers talk down on reading. And many assume that you cannot understand scriptures until you start studying in depth. You want to do Greek and Hebrew. You want to do all of that. I mean, all that is good and cool. I do all that too. But the first place to begin in your personal devotion to scriptures is just to read. Hallelujah. To simply read through. And the reason why this is important is most of the things you are going to study as topics are things you learn to study in context. And there's no contextual study of scriptures outside reading through the entire thing. Glory to God. The reason why people pick a verse of the Bible from the middle, pick another one from the end, and then join them together, things that should never mix or, you know, meet together, is because they've not read through the scriptures. Hallelujah. Every statement in the Bible is said in the context of a particular book. Hallelujah. It said in the context of a particular book. And you cannot get interpretation right until you consider the context. Hallelujah. Also, the genre of the book is very important. Praise God. That which is said in the prophets is not to be interpreted as that which is said in the epistles. That which you read in the epistles is not to be interpreted as that which you saw, that which is said in the prophets. For instance, that which is said in the prophets were said as promissory notes, promises. Hallelujah. The promises of God found in the prophecies. When you read the epistles, what you are reading is the fulfillment. So you cannot be reading New Testament writings as though you are reading Old Testament writings that were promises of that which was to come. Glory to God. An understanding of the genre of the book is very important. That which is said in the Psalms. You know, some believers today still read the Psalms as though they are reading epistle to the Romans or epistle to the Ephesians. Everything there is taken hook, line, and sinker. No. While we can learn from every book of the Old Testament, we don't apply everything said in those books to the believer today. Glory to God. Romans in chapter 15 verse 4, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. So they were written for our learning, but not everything was written to us. Glory to Jesus. Not everything was written to us, but everything was written for our learning. So we can learn from those materials, but we don't apply everything in those materials to the believer in Christ. Glory to God.
So you must understand the nature of the book you are dealing with. But even at that, every book is to be read. You must learn to just read from chapter 1 to the end of the chapter of the book. Just read through. Glory to God. Just read through. Because without reading through, you cannot even understand the context of many things that are said in the book. Hallelujah. You must learn to read chapter 1 to chapter 16 of the book of Romans. You must learn to read chapter 1 to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Do you understand? You must pick a book of the Bible and read through. Read through the book. Pick the Gospels and read through. Hallelujah. Just learn to read through. Praise God. See, there's this habit of people picking verses of the Bible and trying to hear what God wants to tell them from that verse of the Bible. Hallelujah. You pick a verse, I mean, you neglect everything said in the book. Galatians has 6 chapters, for instance. Then you pick a verse in the book of Galatians, and then you are meditating on it, and you are saying, "Speak, Lord. Speak to me, Lord," and things like that. I mean, do you think God wanted to speak to you from one verse, and then he inspired Paul to write 6 chapters? Do you understand? What God wants to say to you in the book of Galatians is everything in that book. Glory to God. And he doesn't want you to interpret any text, any verse in that book outside the context of the entire book. Glory to Jesus. Many of us will not take it. If men relate with our letters the way we relate with the Bible, if I write you a letter and then you pick something in the middle and you hold on to that, I will be displeased. Glory to God. In our educational settings, in school, in our academics, many of us read materials in context. You don't just pick something in the middle. You read the whole thing to understand the author's viewpoint. That's exactly how to read the scriptures. Hallelujah. That's exactly how to read the scriptures. Imagine yourself in the church at Rome, and then Paul is writing a letter to you. Would you pick the last verse of chapter 2 and say that is your own rhema? Do you understand? You won't do that. What God inspired Paul to write to the people at Rome at that point in time, the Christians at Rome at that point in time, is the entire book. And that entire book still serves us today. What God wanted to address in the Corinthian church through the letters of Paul are the things you find in the entire books. Praise God. In the entire books. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Read through the book. Nobody documents his thoughts in a single statement. Nobody documents his mind in a single sentence. That is the reason why they are letters. It's when you read through the letters, you understand the intention and the mind of the author. Glory to God. Listen, this is the starting point. Praise God. This is the starting point. You must learn to just read through the books of the Bible. Glory to God. And I would recommend that you start with the books of the New Testament. Praise God. Why? Because the New Testament epistles are the explanations of the Old Testament books. The explanation of the mind of God as revealed through the prophets. They are written in plain words. They are written in plain words. Unlike the prophets, some of them, you know, most times spoke in parables, figures of speech, and all that. So you find clarity to their statements in the epistles. So if you are starting out with just reading through the Bible, start with the New Testament. Praise God. And just read. Hallelujah. Just read. Imagine yourself in the early church, for instance, and Paul sends a letter to the Ephesians. You won't say, as you start reading, just give me a verse. No, there were no verses. It was just a letter. And they all had to sit down, and then the pastor in charge was going to read out the content of the letter to the entire church. And they were going to be seated listening to the entire content. Praise God. Many of those letters were read in one sitting. Do you understand? Like an apostle has sent you a letter, the whole church gathers together and it is read unto them. And people listen to everything said in that letter. So nobody leaves that meeting with a personal revelation or a personal rhema. Praise God. Why? Because they all heard the same things. Hallelujah. They all heard the same things. The same things were read to them from those letters. So the intention of the author is not distorted. That is the benefit of just reading through without trying to pick a text in the middle and start drawing out things for yourself and start imagining things and start saying, "Lord, tell me what this text is saying." What the text is saying is what it is saying. What you can see clearly is what it is saying. Hallelujah. And to understand a verse of the Bible, you must read the book. You must read the chapters. Glory to God. So, the fact that we have personal Bibles today should not make us abuse that privilege. Praise God. Don't abuse that privilege. You should learn to read through the entire Bible. Don't pick a verse. Read through the book. Read through the book. And as you read through the book, you discover many things you never saw before. Many things, many statements you've come across that you did not understand because you never saw them, you never read them in their context. Hallelujah. And as we study on, I'm going to show you certain verses of the Bible that people have given faulty interpretations to because they removed them from their immediate context. Hallelujah. And that's a major benefit of reading through the Bible. You would have the right understanding of statements because you're going to be reading them in their immediate context. Praise God. Hallelujah. So between now and tomorrow, pick a book of the Bible or two and read. Praise God. Between now and tomorrow, between now and the next study, and I'll make progress on this teaching on the importance of reading, and I'm going to share with you how to read effectively, different approaches and ways to read more effectively. By the way, this kind of reading is called devotional reading. That is, you are just reading devotionally. Praise God. You're not trying to rack your brain, find out what something is saying and all that. You're just reading devotionally, trusting that the author's intention will be unveiled to you as you read. Praise God. Do not imagine or think that the apostles wrote dark sayings or parables. They wrote in plain words. So, you know, people will say that you can't understand the Bible by just reading through. You know, Paul disagrees with them. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, look at this. Paul disagrees with our school of thought. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." The way to understand is to read. Hallelujah. That which he wrote is the revelation. So if I read the revelation that he has made plain, I'm going to gain understanding. Hallelujah. I'm going to gain understanding. Many of the insights that I share today came from the place of simple devotional reading. I was just reading. Glory to God. I was just reading. Because what I was reading is revelation from the apostles. Glory to God. So clear and so plain. So as you read, the revelation unfolds and, you know, is unveiled to your mind from those letters. Glory to God. And of course, the reason why I was able to benefit from reading scriptures was because I was being taught. Hallelujah. I had received teachings that had clarified a lot of things for me, that had set the record straight. I knew the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. I knew what to look out for in those books. Do you understand? So my reading was facilitated by the teaching ministry. Glory to God. So you also, I believe you have been taught and you've been taught, so, and you can read the scriptures. So between now and tomorrow, pick any book of the Bible, the New Testament preferably, and read through. Just read through. Praise God. You can do 3 books, 2 books, 3 books, 4 books, as much as you can read. Just read. Glory to God. Just read. And then tomorrow I'm going to share with you why it is important to read this way. Hallelujah. Apart from getting insights, I'll share with you a vital reason why this is important and plays a vital role in your spiritual growth. And then, like I said, I'm going to share with you more effective ways of reading scriptures as a Christian, as a believer to yourself. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of prayers, full of faith, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.